Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Everybody's all worked up after that Tigers game yesterday. 1 for 15 runners in scoring position. Some managerial malpractice. Oh, people are fired up. We're going to keep talking about it for most of the show. But we have a chance to clear our heads, take a deep breath, talk a little football. And Ross Tucker joins us this morning. Ross is our Odyssey NFL insider. Make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Ross, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I can't help you with the Tigers, but the Lions are awesome.
I know. We are very grateful for that right now.
Yeah, we got something to hang our hats on. So let's start there. And I do want to ask you, who is the best team in the North? And I think you're going to probably say the Lions, but then I want to follow it up with what's gone on with Green Bay? Is it as simple as they're one team at home and a different team on the road?
I don't think it's that, John. I will say this. Can you believe, because we've been doing this every week now, is there any chance you would have thought after that opener that after week four the Lions would be ahead of the Packers in the standings? I mean, especially with the Lions having to play at Baltimore and the Packers' schedule didn't look that bad. The Packers are playing, against teams like the Browns and the Cowboys. And yet now the Packers are looking up at the Lions. It's just funny. As I've said before, and people say, oh, week one is a liar, and it certainly was this year. I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC North, and I think what's so encouraging is just the line play that they're getting both sides. You know, I wasn't sure how Aiden Hutchinson was going to come back from that injury. How about unblockable and unstoppable? I mean, that was ridiculous on Sunday. Super, super impressive. Highly encouraging. And for the Packers, I can't quite figure them out. You know, against the Browns, they couldn't score. And then Jordan Love had a terrible pick, but the defense was still really good. So you thought after three games, okay, with Micah Parsons, the defense is awesome. And then against the Cowboys on Sunday night, it was the total opposite, where, you know, the offense was fine, but the defense really struggled, and it wasn't really Micah Parsons' deal. I think the fascinating thing, I don't know how many Lions fans stayed up to watch the end of it, but LaFleur, in my opinion, more or less played for a tie. I mean, 32 seconds left, they're at like the 25-yard line, they run two plays? You know, that to me is unconscionable, and I guess he's happy with the tie, but I mean, I hope it costs him. I hate that mindset. I'm glad the Lions are ahead of the Packers now.
As are we. He's Ross Tucker. Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Lions have the Bengals this week, double-digit favorites. It doesn't appear to be a very dramatic matchup. I'm curious what the biggest matchup this week is for you in the NFL when you look at it.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised the Bengals are this bad. And I kind of thought after the Vikings debacle that they would bounce back and play better. They didn't. They were arguably even worse on Monday night against, you know, the Denver Broncos. Now they got to play the Lions. Good luck to the Bengals.
Right.
I'm doing the game tonight, Niners-Rams. Looking forward to that one. I think Broncos-Eagles is very interesting because the Eagles – they're not really playing that well. You know, somehow they've now beaten in a row Cowboys, Chiefs, Rams and Bucks without playing well. It's been special teams, but they're not running it that great. They're not throwing it that great. It's kind of miraculous. I'd also say a sneaky good matchup in the NFC is Bucks and Seahawks. I'm expecting both these teams to be in the playoffs. I mean, they could very easily be two of the Lions' opponents in the playoffs. So they'll be playing at the same time as the Lions. That's tough to watch, but I think Bucks and Seahawks is a juicy one too.
So let's go back to what you just said about the Eagles. They're not playing great football right now. I mean, they're still doing enough to win every game, but how close or how would you rank Eagles-Lions?
Well, right now, based on how they've been playing, I think you'd have to put the Lions ahead of the Eagles. Now, you know, they've scored touchdowns on block kicks 2 weeks in a row. Their defense is young but very good. The crazy part is their whole offense is back from last year. And it's just, you know, they'll be decent for a half. Like, how about this, guys? They had zero passing yards in the second half on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's almost impossible in the NFL now. Zero passing yards. And they still won the game on the road against the Bucs, which is wild. So, listen, it's all your perspective in life. You can look at it and say, man, the Eagles are beating good teams even when they're not playing their best. They must be really good. Or you can say the Eagles are getting very fortunate to win some games they probably shouldn't and that their luck will run out soon.
Are the Ravens in danger of missing the playoffs?
They are, but I tend to think that they're going to ultimately be right there with the Steelers. It depends on how long Lamar is out. But I think I still think if I had to bet on it, like the Even Money Betting Podcast, I would bet on the Ravens to win that division. I think that they'll end up somewhere between 9 and 11 wins, just like the Steelers. And I just think the Ravens are a better team. And when Lamar gets back out there, I think they'll start to get into a rhythm. And I'm not buying the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers yet.
So let's go back to the Eagles, because obviously everybody's going to be looking at, you know, who are the Lions going to be facing? Is now that they've beaten Baltimore on the road, Cincinnati doesn't look that great. Kansas City, are they just an average team right now? To get there, to get to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to play Washington, or you're going to have to play some of those teams that you just talked about, the Seahawks or Tampa, and we got Tampa on the schedule. But in regards to the Eagles, how much do you make of this A.J. Brown drama? And the fact that you just mentioned it, no passing yards in the second half, is there something going on behind the scenes that could affect the Eagles more than what we're seeing right now?
Well, you guys know I live in the Philadelphia area and do a ton of Philadelphia media, and he kind of does this every year. I mean, sometimes he does it twice a year where his frustrations, he takes it out on social media and then apologizes a few days later. He's frustrated by it. You know, there's a reason why it's hard for teams to repeat, right? You know, all the guys for the Eagles, they've all been paid. You know, they've all gotten their money. They've all won a Super Bowl now. I think the next thing is like, okay, I want to show how good I am. It's about me a little bit. And they won't say that. They'll say that it's an A.J. Brown, did he want to contribute more to a win, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I'm not a big fan of these, you know, sub-tweets or sub-posts or whatever they call them now. That would be like, as soon as I'm done and I'm done with you guys, me posting on social media, you know, don't bring me on the show if you want to talk Tigers so bad. You know what I mean? like if I had an issue with you guys, I would talk to you guys directly. I'm amazed that this is a thing that guys do. It's not how I was raised, but I don't know. I don't know if there's things behind the scenes. He apologized. Everybody's saying the right things. I guess we'll find out.
I can give you a reason to subtweet us. I'll ask you, who wins game three today, Tigers or Guardians?
Oh, man, yesterday when I do 4 o'clock in Cleveland on Wednesdays, I would have said Guardians. Today, since I'm doing 8 o'clock in Detroit on a Thursday, let's go Tigers.
All right. Ross, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
He's Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider. Not our MLB insider, so don't take that Tigers prediction for much. But you can check out the Ross Tucker podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, use the Odyssey app to listen.
Such a politician. Come on. Doing radio in Cleveland, he says Guardians. Doing radio here, he says Tigers.
We're doing radio in Detroit. Yeah. And I'm still saying Guardians. And I think you're with me. I think you're there.
I haven't planted my flag either way.
And we got 2 hours. I'll get you there.
Your physical appearance today tells me something.
What?
That my back hurts?
No. You're sick of carrying the weight of that team all year. All right. No, it's your hat.
I'm ready for Sunday. Mm-hmm. It was intentional when I wore this one. Had the Tigers won, I would have pulled out the old English D. But we had a comment on Twitch just a little bit ago. See if I can find it real quick. Where it was just I want the feeling that I get when watching the Lions back because Tiger baseball is depressing.
It is. They had so many chances yesterday. It was agonizing. Mm. And you knew if they left the door open, Cleveland was going to deliver on one pitch here, one pitch there. And then they blew the game open. Floodgates open late.
This team, I've been in this business since 1998. I think this is the most annoying team I've ever witnessed. Like, they're so annoying. Yeah. There's a little part of me like, you really want to advance, and then they're going to play like this still. Look, Seattle has good pitching. It's just like...
I have no issue with an annoying winner.
Right.
But what
makes it even more annoying is that it's been 9 games against the Guardians, and it's just been watching 2 bad teams. It's watching a pillow fight.
It's just so hard to get over that they had that stretch of baseball of 101-61, and that they've fallen this hard.
Yeah. Look, we're going to get back into it. 8:25. A lot of the fallout from yesterday, AJ's decisions, pinch hitting Riley, taking Mize out early, going with Melton against lefties when Herter's ready, the collective disappointment at the plate that continues. There's a lot for you guys to jump in and sound off on. And then we will look ahead. I know yesterday I was the bad guy for pointing out I just didn't trust Detroit in this spot. We'll see where people are at as we continue the show. It's 97.1. Lions fans, let's talk about you guys. It's time to roar louder than ever. The 2025 season is here, and the ultimate way to celebrate is with 1800 Tequila, the world's most awarded tequila, back as the official tequila of our Detroit Lions. So pregame tailgates, postgame celebrations, make sure you got 1800 Tequila because it brings that smooth, bold flavor to every moment. You can sip it in a sideline marg or enjoy it straight. Either way, you're raising your glass to a championship season. Make 1800 Tequila part of your game day lineup all season long. Victory never tasted so good. 1800 Tequila, official tequila of the Detroit Lions. Proximo, 1800tequila.com. Please drink responsibly.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Before we get to these Tiger calls, Heather with the news.
Yeah, so the band director for Florida A&M has now issued an apology after body shaming the dance team from Alabama State University. So Alabama State's Honeybees dance team is comprised of plus-size dancers. And last Saturday, they did this amazing halftime performance with the marching band. And as they exited the field, or maybe it was when they entered the field, it doesn't really matter. The longtime announcer, Joe Bullard, made this derogatory comment. You can clearly hear the uproar of shock from the crowd.
Terrible.
It was also on social media. It spread very quickly. The president of FAMU issued a written apology. The president at ASU also issued a statement basically saying there's no place for these demeaning comments, remarks, to be made at our Scholars.
He did that.
So he released a statement himself, and he said that he would like to apologize for his remarks. He did note that his comments were meant to be lighthearted, like lighthearted banter, but he can now see that they didn't come across that way, that they were hurtful and disrespectful.
Well, and not that it would have made it better, but it wasn't even like a hot mic situation where he was like making a joke off. It was said right into the microphone.
Oh, it was an announcement. Yeah. Oh, it was
intended for everyone to hear.
Yes. Like, it's
unbelievable.
It really is. A missing Grosse Pointe Farms woman with dementia is now safe and sound back home thanks to a complete stranger. So 65-year-old Janet Michaels had recently went missing from her home on Tuesday. Police were looking for her. Friends and family were looking for her, searching for her. On Wednesday morning, there was a stranger. Her name is Norma Romero, who came across this woman in Detroit. Saw this woman and instantly had a feeling like something's just not right.
Yeah.
But instantly didn't do anything. Came across the woman again a little bit later. She was in a pink jacket this time. And she said, you know what? I need to approach this woman. Asked her if she was okay. She was very cold. The woman was able to say, give her an address, obviously in Grosse Pointe. And the woman's like, that's like a 7-hour walk. Are you sure?
Right.
Are you sure that's where you're from? And she was also able to get a phone number. And this woman was able to call her husband. Her husband and the family showed up and got her home safe and sound. But it sounds like people had spotted her. But by the time police would show up, she was no longer in that location. So they just hadn't been able to find her. So she was out for at least a full day out there, walked at least 7 hours, but thankfully has been found.
Jeez.
Also found that alligator that was roaming around Belle Isle has now been rescued. So there was images of this alligator that, so you know, were out there on social media. Yeah. Michigan DNR did confirm, yes, that's a real photo. That's a real alligator. They had been looking for this gator ever since. Well, on Wednesday, two strangers were able to capture this small gator. They were out there searching. They kind of bumped into each other and they're each like, I think we're doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're gator hunting. Well, kind of.
Hunting. Yes. To try and capture it.
Yes. And they worked together, were able to capture the gator. Then it's safe and sound now. It's being taken care of in Westland. Some news, some sad news. Legendary chimpanzee researcher and Jane Goodall passed away, age 91.
That's a good run.
She was actually, you know, I was talking to Colin about this. He's like, I didn't even realize that she was still alive, but had recently heard that she was doing this tour. And
no
she
kidding.
Was. She was in California. She just was in New York. She was on this cross-country speaking tour.
Wow.
And she was in California when she passed away, which is
well, good for
amazing.
I mean, obviously, when I say this, not good for her that she passed away, but good for her that she was doing what she wanted to do all the way up
at
until
91. Yes. Pretty crazy.
It's Heather with the news. All right, let's get back to these Tiger phone calls today. Let's start with Derek in Detroit. Derek, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys? Thanks for taking the call. Listen, I just got a question. Riley Green, was Riley Green at bat when all 15 of these people were left on base?
He was not, Derek.
The reason why I asked that question is we're talking about Riley Green and Hinch's decision, you know, or whatever. And why are we not talking about the unproductive seasons of everybody else on this team? I mean, how many? This is the most productive player they had on team. What, 36 home runs, 1,200 whatever RBIs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, what, he had 30-40 more at bats than just about everybody.
Yeah, he had the most on the team.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, you get more bats at bats, you get more strikeouts, right?
And more homers.
More homers. Yeah. Okay. But the point is, he was the most productive player on the team. But all we're talking about is Riley Green and what he did or didn't do or Hinch's decision.
Derek, you know, I agree with you that it's not reduced to the one decision he made, in the seventh inning to pinch hit for Riley. It startled people because of what you said, because he leads them in all these counting stats and they took him out of the game. But you are right to call in and say, hey, why aren't we bringing up the fact that Wenzel Perez was 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position, or Parker Meadows was 0-for-2 with runners in scoring position, or Kerry Carpenter was 0-for-2, certainly not Kerry Bonds with runners in scoring position, Dingler 0-for-1, Malloy 0-for-1. The only guy that had a hit with runners in scoring position yesterday was So it's a good point. They have 2 for 23 runners in scoring position in this series. It's far more than the one decision made in the seventh. And John, I think you actually laid out that it was one of several decisions that puzzled you from A.J. Hinch.
Well, it starts with when you pull Casey Mize, because now you got to get into your bullpen. It goes with when you, instead of going with Brant Herter, you go with Troy Melton. When you have three lefties up, and it flies in the face of the matchup. And it also flies in the face of analytics, because the matchup is that you would go with Brant Herter, lefty on lefty. He's got to pitch to three batters. Well, you've got three lefties coming up. And then if you're going to go into extra innings because it's tied 1-1 at the time, then why not go with the guy that you believe can go further, Troy Melton?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to have to go into a ninth or a tenth inning, you go with a guy that you believe could go to maybe 2 1/3, 2 or 3. Like, that's where I have the question. And then you go to the other mistakes that were made, and I'm not going to necessarily call the, you know, pulling Riley a mistake. It didn't work, but the mistake was, why didn't you do that 30 games ago,
you thought
40
it was
games ago? Or, and then the other mistake was, you had the opportunity to take the lead. Dylan Dingler was going to cruise across home plate, and Zach McKinstry gets thrown out at third.
Yeah, fire down chips. Can't have that. Can't make the final out at third base. There was a lot of things, and that's why it was such an aggravating, and I think annoying was our word, baseball game. So, and AJ, there was an inconsistency, John, right? So if you're going to play matchups, lefty-lefty, get Riley out for Jamai, yeah. Then you play lefty-lefty, you put Herter in instead of Melton. There was a lot of that. And AJ also blinked first. He pulled Mize. And it forced him to be perfect with his bullpen decisions, because they were going to need a lot of dudes when Casey Mize only pitches three innings. And the other thing I thought was subtle, Vogt didn't blink. Like, okay, you want to bring in your lefties?
Right. He didn't yank his lefties and go right-handed bats. Yeah.
We got a long game to go. I'm not going to pull out all my best guys. I'll wait out Tyler Holton and keep him in. And lo and behold, late in the game, those lefties were the dudes that got everything going. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Torin in Brooklyn. You're on 97.1.
Hey, thank you for taking my call today.
What's up?
Yeah, you know, I've been a Tigers fan since before I was 10 years old. And this team, man, I followed them all year. I loved them, I'm very disappointed, with how they finished the year. But you know what? They win today, I'm going to be elated, and everyone's going to be elated too. And you know, A.J. Hinch, you know, we can complain about the decisions he makes, but he's won us more games than he's lost. He is a tactician. He's one of the best in the game, and maybe some of his decisions weren't the best yesterday. You know, pinch hitting for Riley Green. Green's got, you know, light tower power, right? Not a lot of people have light tower power. And you know, Green, yeah, against lefties, I get he's not so good, but he's got light tower power, and that can unleash at any time. And it's just, it was a shame that he was taken out.
Well, I don't disagree with the fact that I think they're there because of the strings that A.J. Hinch has pulled through 162. I think he's a hell of a manager, one of the best in baseball.
Both things can be true.
Right, but yesterday was not his finest showing.
On a variety of fronts. Weirdly enough, though, the Riley one is the one that I don't think is a shame. Like, I don't think Riley's this untouchable bat you can't lift with runners in scoring position based on a matchup. He's not. He hasn't become that hitter who is untouchable, that complete hitter that you don't want to take out of a ball game. In fact, he has become the type of hitter you do take out of the ball game.
And when you go with analytics, I get it. I just would love to hear from AJ, if you just ask him the question, why then?
Right.
Why was this the moment that you decided to pull Riley Green and put in somebody that, you know, in so many different situations where it may have been a better, maybe you're not even in this position, if you had made that decision
Right.
Sometime in August or in September.
If it was the right decision yesterday, could you have done it two or three more times in the regular season, won the division and not been in this spot, or had a bye and not be in this spot?
Or maybe it lit a fire.
And he, fair point. Phone calls, ticket, text, Tiger fans, and then we do have to look ahead to game three. It's 97-1.
Hey, there's nothing like Michigan. The pride, the grit, the game day energy. There's a beer that gets it. It's Founders Michigan Pilsner, brewed right here in the heart of Michigan. It's crisp, light, and built for those who go all in, whether you're tailgating in Ann Arbor or kicking back after a long day. As proud sponsors of Michigan Athletics, we're raising a cold one to the maize and blue. Founders Michigan Pilsner, brewed for Michigan, built for you. Find Michigan Pilsner at a store near you, Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
All right, we're talking a lot about the Tigers today. Season's not over, but boy, I do not feel good. Certainly not going to be Tigers in two. And that's the reality of it. And I have no faith that this team can string together quality at-bats with runners in scoring position. It was the story at the end of last year. It's been the story this year in the postseason. Flaherty's on the mound with a career playoff ERA over 5. John?
Well, things don't look bright, but you still play the game.
Right, but you got to give me like a reason to believe, not just they're our baseball team, go get them, Tigers.
Okay, well, you might get the best of Jack Flaherty. There's a whole lot of mites. There's a whole lot of ifs. There's nothing I can tell you to say, yes, the Tigers go out there and win today, because all of a sudden, hey, you have an 8-run explosion. They find ways to get guys across home plate. There's absolutely nothing for the two games that we've seen so far, even in the win. The only reason they won that one is because Skubal ended up going 7 innings and pitched a beautiful game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they won the only game in the series with 2 unearned runs.
So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, well, if Jack Flaherty can go, you know, 7 innings.
It might not even matter.
Well, 1 run. Yeah, you're right. If the Guardians score 1 run, it might not matter.
So you guys think on the Herter and Melton thing that he was saving Herter for today?
No, I don't think so. Although I don't have a great explanation, so maybe you're right.
Because I do think Holton can pitch today. I think everybody can pitch today, just about, probably except Skubal and Mize. Mm-hmm. Although I wouldn't rule out Mize completely. I wouldn't. If you're looking for 3 batters.
I mean, if it's like 18 innings, I mean, maybe.
Yeah. It would be, yeah. But Herter's going to have to play the role today that Holton played yesterday, I think. Is that what he's thinking? But you should never manage for tomorrow. You manage for today.
Right. You figure out tomorrow if you need to have tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, look, I'm
just scratching my head at the Mize decision. You have got to trust. He is one of their better players, okay? Right? He is. And he pitched well in September. He needed to trust him longer. That pushes everybody back farther. Maybe the game develops where you will bring Holton in that spot instead of Melton. You know what I'm saying? It's like I feel like he predetermined before the game that Mize is going to pitch this amount. Hopefully we can get there. And then Holton's going to eat up. And I hope the Indians take their lefties out of the lineup.
And they didn't. They didn't blink.
Yeah.
They called his bluff.
Yep.
And then he was left holding the bag, playing from behind, not on the scoreboard because it was tied up until late. But in terms of like the bullpen, he was going to have to empty out more arms. And we don't trust the bullpen depth of the Detroit Tigers the way that Cleveland does. So now they're in the advantage spot. And then the one counter would be if you could capitalize with any of these golden opportunities with runners in scoring position, you could have put the screws to Cleveland. They're trailing. Their season's going to end. But at no point could Detroit grab the lead.
I would have trusted Mize to get through that lineup a second time, and I would have flirted with him getting an opportunity to face the top of their lineup. One base runner, see ya.
So, look, in addition to talking through what happened yesterday, and we've got calls to get to, and you guys have been great all morning. I know people are fired up. 248-539-9797. What is your expectation today? Because yesterday I stuck by Guardians and was vilified and called a wet blanket and a bad fan, and you don't want them to win. I just don't trust this team. I didn't trust them even with the lead in the series. And they've given me no reason to trust them today. But if you've got like something I'm missing, you've got another perspective, you think they're going to win today, by all means. Or if you're like me and you just don't see it, we want to hear from you. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Pedro in Auburn Hills. Pedro, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
I mean, I'm not blaming anything on the skipper. I mean, AJ Hinch came here is to revive who he was because of what happened in Houston. He's been here the whole time looking in the dugout, looking in the bullpen, and ain't got nobody. The organization in Harris knew what they had last year. They basically had the same team. They basically knew 70% you're going to face the same team. And what's the best motivation is for Cleveland? Let's make a run. We know who we are going to face.
We know we got the Tigers' number. If we can get in this, we know we can beat the Tigers. I'm sure that's what they think. They did it in the playoffs last year. They did it down the stretch in September. Even yesterday, facing elimination, I bet there was a degree of like, hey, we got them right where we want them. Mm-hmm. If anybody knows how to play desperation garbage baseball, it's the Cleveland Guardians. And today, I mean, look, there's both teams facing elimination. But, I mean, Cleveland will take advantage of three total base runners. Detroit won't take advantage of like 12 base runners.
Right, three total base runners and not even having to hit the ball out of the infield.
Yeah.
It's just, this is why it's so maddening and so frustrating, and it's such an emotional roller coaster, because even today, and I know you're wanting me to say certain things, and I just can't.
What do you mean you can't? Like what do you think I want you to say?
I've already admitted, you want me to admit that they're going to lose today.
That you think they're going to lose today.
And I can't go into a game thinking I'm going to lose, because that's not how you go into a game.
But you're not playing in the game, John. They're not giving you a bat.
You can't
later
tell
today.
Me that.
You pick other teams to lose games, like.
Yeah, but they're not my teams.
You picked the Ravens to beat the Lions.
If this is one of my greatest faults of believing, then so be it. I'll admit it. I have a huge fault when it comes to believing on game day that we've got a chance. Throw out, this is why you play the game, because you absolutely have no idea what's going to happen. This is why I'm upset that AJ pulled Riley Green yesterday, because if there's anybody that should be in that position, that should make the play to win it, it's Riley Green. And if he can't, that's a decision that we may be talking about tomorrow.
You always go down with your horses.
Yes.
Not a 4A guy. Or Jake Rogers, as Jim's called Riley Green today.
Riley Green against left-handed pitching is Jake Rogers. If you pull Jake Rogers, nobody bats an eye. I just think this idea that Riley is this untouchable god that we can't pull from a baseball game. He strikes out a ton. He doesn't hit lefties. He doesn't deserve to be put in over guys with better matchups.
But I'll even go to, there are so many examples. And I know you're not saying, well, can they win the game? The answer is yes, they can win the game because they're going to play the game.
Right.
There are so many examples of teams that had no business winning, but they find a way to win a single game. And that's what this is, a single game. It's not likely. It's not probable. I wouldn't put money on it.
It's so funny you put it that way. Like, the Tigers should have won the game yesterday. Like, when you break it down, 12 or 15 left on base. Do you know how many runners Cleveland had 2 for 3 with runners in scoring position. They hardly had any chances to score runs. They capitalize. Detroit doesn't. And this has been a theme for 2 months where Detroit doesn't capitalize. So, no, I don't think Detroit's winning today. I don't think you have any reason to believe Detroit's winning today.
So you want me to come up with the path to
no,
win?
No, I don't want you to do anything phony.
This isn't phony. I do believe this is realistic. Flaherty gives him a chance to win the game. All right, that has to be the first must. He can't get bombed like he has in some starts this year.
Right.
You get the Cleveland's bullpen. They've pitched a lot of pitches the last 2 days, and they will. I believe they will use Cade Smith, but they're going to use everybody too. And maybe they've thrown too many pitches, and you get to them late.
What's Cade Smith's pitch count? It's pretty high.
He had 31 yesterday.
I think it was 19 the day before, I believe.
I just think if I'm Cleveland, like, I'll throw anybody at this Tigers team, and we can't get out of our own way.
And, I'd said yesterday that when he goes back-to-back, it can get a little messy sometimes. It started to get a little messy there in the ninth. And Tigers, the one thing that they did yesterday good was that they made Cade Smith throw pitches when the game was over.
Yeah, it was 19. So he's thrown, 40 total pitches.
Jack Flaherty has pitched against Cleveland 3 times this season. We did this with Mize yesterday, just to give people what you're signing up for. His first outing against Cleveland, he went 6 2/3, gave up 3 runs. They lost 7-0. No run support, right? Mm-hmm. He's pitched against Cleveland twice in the month of September. 5 innings of 1-run baseball. They lost 4-0. No run support. Mm-hmm. And then the most recent outing, he went 4 1/3, gave up 3 runs, including a homer. They lost 5-1. No run support.
There is no logic in thinking that today is the day that the bats wake up, that somebody will make contact with somebody actually on base. Like, I get that.
Do you think they'll score 3 runs or more today?
What did I tell you guys? I said Cleveland would win the series, and I said the Tigers would score a total of 4 runs. What are they at right now?
3.
So they're going to lose 2-1.
They'll score 1 today and lose.
Or they could win 2-1, and they'll go with the over.
Or they could win 1-0, John, and still score 4 and win. I know there's a... Look, they're going to play so they can win, but there's no way any Tigers fan with any good sense has confidence in the team today.
No, I don't think anybody has confidence in the team. I'm not sitting here, and I hope nothing I have said that there's a vote of confidence. That's not it. I'm not the owner that says, hey, with 5 games left, there's a vote of confidence for this manager and this staff and all this. No, there's no confidence going into the game.
And I wonder if we get texts from people who are rooting for them to lose today just to be done with this annoying baseball season. We'll take all phone calls on the Tigers. It's 97.1.
Every NFL Thursday is your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel, because that's when FanDuel's Thursday Touchdown Jackpot happens. You can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each and every week. To get in on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score, bet before the game begins. And if your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you're going to win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to take a shot at the jackpot. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit for your chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Must apply profit boost token on select market. Prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct first or last touchdown pick. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 21 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tigers begged them to steal it, and the Guardians did. Hey, they'll play today 3:08 for Game 3, the deciding game of the wild card round.
Hearing that highlight, I'm so sick of them, and especially that stupid Super Mario coin effect after the home runs. I don't want to hear that anymore.
I know. Just
take it up with Tiger pitching.
Make it end.
Speaking of that, Ticket Texter says, I'm sick of the Tigers. I hope Cleveland ends their misery and ours. It's a real belief in this fan base. It's not like one or two ticket texts.
No, and I understand it. I'm not on that side, but I'm not going to argue against it.
Today may be the first time in a month I'm confident we lose, so we'll probably win 10-1 just to lure us back in. It'll be over when we say it's over. Okay. Texter says, I think the disconnect is Cookie's understanding of fandom. Being a fan is like being in love. It's like religion. It's illogical and it's predicated on faith.
Yeah, there's a lot of faith, a lot of hope.
But I don't think all fans have to blindly believe their team's going to win every time they take the field.
No, you don't have to blindly believe that.
I mean, you go to Andy Dufresne's letter to Red. Hope is a good thing.
It's not a strategy, though. Texter says, gentlemen, the Tigers will win today, and here's my logic. On Tuesday, I didn't have any gummies and watched, and we won. Yesterday, I took two gummies, and we lost. Today, I plan to not have any gummies. The Tiger victory is assured. Go Tigers, go Lions, and go Blue. Can't argue with that.
Save them up till the game's over, and at least you have them at that point if it doesn't work out.
Self-medicate. Hey, John, if the Tigers win today, Cookie should be put in timeout for 15 minutes tomorrow for not believing Paul in New Haven.
No, I'm not doing that to anybody today because it just doesn't feel like it's even possible. That's what the Tigers have done to you over the course of since the All-Star break, the trade deadline, September happened, and it just feels like there is no, the only way out is to make it end.
Pay attention. No one's hitting the ball. How can anybody fault the manager? Please answer the question. A lot of AJ calls today. And by the way, AJ shouldn't be let off the hook. Like, I think you can blame more than one thing for that game. The hitters have to deliver with 15 left on base. I'll start with them. But, John, it's not like AJ managed his finest hour yesterday.
No. And you could argue when to pull Mize, when not to pull him.
What was the worst decision he made to you or decision he didn't make?
I think you had to ride Mize longer. I really do. I think that just set them up to get into the bullpen where we just, your odds of getting one more inning out of Casey Mize and then getting him out is better than going with chaos the rest of the day.
I thought the worst decision was Melton with three lefties due up and Herter ready to go.
Yeah, but I mean, so. Yeah,
and your point is if they go with Mize, you might not.
Yeah,
yeah, but if they had made the Mize decision and stuck with it and then played the right matchups the rest of the way, then you go, okay, well.
I mean, they still could be playing because no one was going to score.
Right.
I think it's clear it was Mize. And I think it was predetermined. I think he mapped out, it was Mize get me to this point, Holton will get me here. We score a few runs, we win the game.
You can correct me if I'm wrong. Mize came out before Manzardo. It would have been the second time facing Manzardo. To your point, maybe that's where AJ had pre-planned, I don't want Manzardo to see a righty again, so I'm going to go Holton. But then Vogt said, well, I'm not taking Manzardo out in the fourth inning. Are you out of your mind?
Right.
I'll give him a shot here, and then we'll keep him for later.
Oh, yeah. There's no way he can take one of their better hitters out of the lineup.
248-539-9797. The Riley thing got people heated. How can you take Riley out? If you think that's the worst decision he made, go ahead. 248-539-9797. Drew in Roseville, you're next up.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Drew.
Go Blue, John.
Go Blue.
Jimmy, Cookies. I have to take exception with you. I think your new name should be Marbles, as in you've lost them, because how can you defend taking out an RBI home run leader in a playoff game? If you go through the history of this game, you find me one time that that's happened. You ain't gonna. It's never happened. He made history yesterday. And that was just a compilation of the mistakes that AJ had yesterday. I mean, the Mize thing. But let me just set the tone for you. First inning. First and second, nobody out. Our three best hitters come up. Whiff, whiff, whiff. That set the tone for the game as far as I was concerned. And right. No, they're not going to win today. I'm tired. This team is disappointing me over the last 2 weeks so bad right now that it's such a hard watch. It's like watching a car crash over and over again, knowing what the result's going to be. It's like I'm done with them. I'm done.
At the risk of defending my marbles, I do want to just restate where I'm at on the Riley Green thing.
Going full major league. You have no marbles.
Because it does run counter to what I'm hearing from a lot of hosts and fans on social media. I just see it differently. Riley Green is awful in terms of putting the ball in play, and he's terrible facing lefties. I wish it wasn't true. It is. He's not this untouchable bat that can't be pulled from a lineup. Look, you can tell me he leads a team in RBIs and he leads a team in home runs. He does those things primarily against righties. Against lefties, his numbers resemble that of Jake Rogers. If you think that's an insult, sorry that the facts tell you it. AJ has to manage to score a run in that spot. It's his last best chance to score a run. Jamai Jones has a 970 OPS against lefties. 300 plus points higher than Riley Green. Is a player above the team? Riley's above the team. He's above reproach and must stay in the game no matter what. That's what I'm being told by people. No, AJ said, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think of Riley Green. He's not that good. He's not untouchable. And he's right. And it didn't work out, but I'll defend that decision. That's his best chance to score. Why didn't he do it with Karp the day before? Nobody was on base. You had two on, one out. Riley was 0 for 2 in that game, runners in scoring position. He's a bad player in high leverage. He does not put the ball in play, and he doesn't hit lefties. AJ had all the ammunition to make that decision, and he had the guts to make the decision to say, I don't care if he's quote-unquote our all-star player. I don't care. There's no egos here on this team. That's how we've managed all season.
So in doing that, it makes all the decisions that he made to keep him in the regular season the wrong decision.
Sure. You could say that. And then I would tell you, so because you were making wrong decisions in September, you have to keep making wrong decisions.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not arguing you. I'm not saying that it was wrong to take him out and to put in somebody who has better numbers against left-handed pitching. But it just went against everything that he has done the entire season. He never once took Riley Green out because of a matchup.
Yeah. You could argue he should have.
You know, and there were times where, and I don't know if you go back and give him some truth serum and say, did you not play Riley Green today because of a matchup? He'll always tell you, no, it was a planned day off day. Or, yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, he's never going to come out and say after that game, I don't trust Riley Green. But his decision told us he didn't trust Riley Green. I mean, he said it loud without using any words. It's 97-1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.